Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we're reading from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went to the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all of the people were amazed. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to continue our study in the book of Mark, and we're looking at now that Jesus is entering in the Gadarenes, this another area of Judea. This area was part of Israel, but it was kind of not. You'll understand that in just a moment. This place was the land was set aside for the tribe of Gad, and when they had come back from the end of the exile, and they started to re-put their places here, they figured out they needed to do something more than just worship God. They figured God, evidently they thought God wasn't enough because they went into exile, so they needed something more. So on top of their worship of God, they put upon themselves the worship of pagan things. One of the things they worshiped were ancestor spirits. When it talks about the tombs that they set up were around their cities. The idea was that this way the spirits of their loved ones would protect them from any evil. To know how far these people had gone, these people actually held pigs, herds of pigs. And for a Jew, this was a big no-no. You don't keep pigs. You don't eat pork. You don't giving it close to it. And yet these people were worshiping their dead ancestors, hoping their dead ancestors, because dead people really help you, would protect them, and they were keeping pigs. If there was any place that was unclean, this would have been it. The region on the other side of the river, the Pharisees were thought, "Ooh, that's bad." This place was really bad in the eyes of the Jewish leaders. And yet, you know what? Jesus went there. Jesus went to this place again that was unclean, that by all of society's standards of the religious people of that age says, this is a place you need to stay away from. And yet Jesus went there. And when the demons see Jesus coming, they come and they proclaim who he is. Now that may sound like Well, aren't they trying to help Jesus? No. They weren't trying to raise up and say, hey, look, this is the Messiah. They were trying to distract. They were trying to get the people to see Jesus for something other than what he came to be. See, the people of that age wanted their Messiah to come and be a military leader, to fight Rome, to gather their weapons and fight against their oppressors. And so the demons were, hey, looky, looky, this is the guy you should be worshiping, distracting them. Was it true? Was Jesus the king? Yes. Was it true that he was a Messiah? Yes. Was it true that he was there to bring victory over the Romans? No. So the demons weren't saying, hey, we believe in you. No, the demons were there trying to stir up trouble. Which, by the way, that's what they always do. But as you look at this man possessed with this demon, or I should say demons, he lived out amongst the tombs. He lived amongst the dead. He couldn't be bound. Side note on this one, he lived amongst the tombs, and since the people there would have worship of their ancestors, well, some of the times when they would go worship, they would want to go out to the tombs to present offerings. But they couldn't because there was a wild man there. This guy was even disrupting pagan worship. And they had tried to bind him. They even put chains on him. And he couldn't be stopped. It was like this man could have either had some sort of supernatural strength, or he had no understanding of pain or agony. And if somebody doesn't care what it feels like and they're after you, you're in trouble. And this man cried out. Why? He was suffering. The demons actually had him hurting himself. His self-mutilation. Cutting himself with stones. Crying out. Can you imagine a guy on the edge of town doing this all the time? Had to be quite disturbing. And nothing could be done. Like I said, they tried. They tried binding him. They tried holding him down. Nobody could do it. And Jesus comes along and he casts out the demon. It seems like it didn't work. Instead, he said, evil spirit, come out. After they got the intro part, and it said, why was the demon carrying on like he is? Because Jesus told the demon to come out. So was it? Is now all of a sudden Jesus not powerful enough? No. This is St. Charles speaking. I think a demon did come out when Jesus said, demon, come out. The problem is there was more than one. I don't know about you. If you know anything about pest, if you see a mouse in the middle of the day, unless it's sick for some reason, you see it running around your house, if you catch it and kill it, you didn't take care of your mouse problem. If there's a mouse there during the day, you've got a lot of mice. You don't have one mouse and, ooh, we got it taken care of. Yeah, you can tell your kids or your spouse, whatever. Yeah, oh, yeah, we got it taken care of. You don't. You don't. You've got a lot more there that you're going to have to deal with. What was going on here is there was a lot more there. And so Jesus asked, what is your name? And Jesus wasn't asking the name because he needed to know the name to cast out the demon. There are some people who get caught up in demonology, who say, you need to know the name of the demon. And once you have the name of the demon, you have power over that demon. Let me tell you something. That's a bunch of pagan nonsense. In fact, when we see in just a minute, Jesus deals with it. I don't know what got caught in my throat, but I wish it'd go away. Whatever it was, or Jesus didn't deal with this demon by calling it by name afterwards. So why did he say, what is your name? Because he was trying to show the disciples what he was dealing with and what was going on. Jesus was showing them, I didn't fail. There's a reason there's still some here, because there are a lot here. So it wasn't the fact that it didn't work, or Jesus had to do a special incantation, or some sort of special use some sort of special powers. No. It's the fact that he was dealing with more than one. And he's showing that to his disciples. I don't know about you, one demon sounds like, okay, I don't want to fool with it. You got a legion of them? That's a lot. I said, Jesus doesn't address the man by legion afterwards. And if you're ever dealing with a demon, guess what? You don't need its name. You don't need to do some special incantation. You need to, first of all, be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Because first of all, if you don't have that, you're in trouble. In the book of Acts, we have an example of somebody who thought seven sons of Sceva. It talks about, they went in, there was a man demon-possessed. They went in before him and thought, we've seen this done before. We know how to do this. They came out, excuse me. They looked at the demon-possessed person. Yep, you'll work. And they said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And the demon looked and said, hey, my paraphrase here, I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who are you guys? Come here. And he beat them up. And they went out, torn up, stripped of their clothes, beat up by one guy. Don't take on a demon if you don't have Jesus. Jesus, with Jesus, you have the power. And Jesus confronted this demon, these legion of demons. And the demon said, let us go into the swine. Why the swine? And why did Jesus let him go there? Well, first of all, they said, we don't want to leave the region. Oh, I got to say something. If demons don't want to leave your area, you've got problem. They're there because they think they can get something. It's kind of like that relative you can't get rid of. They're there because they think they can get something off of you. What? I see a couple people really laughing, and I don't think I want to ask what's going on. The swine were unclean. This is something that would readily accept, probably, demons. And the demon said, let us go there. And Jesus said, go. But Jesus, isn't this, you're killing 2,000 animals. But think of it, remember this. Jesus, by allowing those demons to go into those swine went into the lake and killed themselves. Now Jesus has cleansed the land from these unclean animals. He's both now cleansed the land from a demon-possessed man and by an outward representation of the uncleanness of the land by getting rid of these unclean animals. So in a very Jewish sense, Jesus was cleaning house. Jesus was bringing cleansing to this group that should have known better. But also the early church father Christophorus pointed out that Jesus did this so that we might know that demons might have done this same to the human being and would have drowned them if God had allowed them to do so. We always see that already. What did the demons have the man do? Cut himself? Hurt himself? The demon was there to destroy. And let me tell you something. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. There are people out there that says, Lucifer came to bring you freedom. No, he didn't. He came to bring you poison. He came to bring you destruction. Anybody who says that Lucifer is on your side is crazy. Or maybe I shouldn't say crazy. Maybe I should say just misinformed. Because he's not on your side. That would be like Stalin saying, yeah, I got a peace treaty with Hitler. Everything's okay now. He'll never attack Russia. Yeah, right. All it did was buy him time so he could. You think that Lucifer's on your side? He's not. He wants to see you destroyed. And the only reason he hasn't is because God has said this far and no farther. It was God's mercy that protected this man even before Jesus came. Because by all accounts that we see, the demons were trying to destroy this man. And when the people come and they see, they're afraid. Now, I would have thought a demon-possessed man who can't be held by chains running around my neighborhood, that ought to freak me out. I don't watch a lot of horror movies because I like sleeping at night. But, I know enough of those things to know that if that's happening, you're scared, and you ought to be. This isn't a movie. This was real, and they saw it happening. And you'd think, well, these people should be afraid. But they weren't, it seems like. When did they become afraid? When they saw what Jesus did. If we remember in the last week, we recognized that the disciples, they had gone through the storm, but it was after Jesus calmed the storm that all of a sudden they're like, whoa, it says they were afraid. Why? Because once you realize who Jesus is and who God is, you need to have a little bit of fear. It isn't that God doesn't love you or God doesn't care about you. The fact is, God is a powerful force, and he's set against evil. I'll tell you what, I'll walk out today, and I might walk out underneath one of these power lines, and you know what, I'm not afraid. One of those power lines come down and goes flipping around on the ground, and I'm standing 5 feet away from it. I won't be standing 5 feet away from it very long. I won't be moving farther away from it. Why? Because I'm afraid. And I ought to be, because that power unleashed can destroy me. And these people realize if this man, this person, has come and can do this, what does this mean for my life? The problem is they were more comfortable with the pigs. They were more comfortable with a demon-possessed man than they were with Jesus. They were more comfortable with their dysfunctional lives than they were with the cure. They had the answer. They had the cure. They're like, no, we don't want this. Just go away. Because they knew enough to know that if God's coming on the scenes, if the power of God is there, it's going to call for them to change where they're at, to change their lives, to take a new direction. And all of a sudden, when that comes around, most people are afraid. What does this mean for me? It means you need to take a new path. And when you confront Jesus in all his power, you need to realize that he is there to change you, to bring change. The question I have to ask for us today when it looks to our own lives is, are you more comfortable with the sin in your life than you are with Jesus? Romans chapter 6, do not let your sin control your life and do not give in to evil desires. We don't want sin to control us. But we have a choice. Are we going to let Jesus control us? Or are we going to let sin control us? It can be scary to choose God. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, it says, Moses chose the mistreatment with his people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Choosing God, choosing Jesus, sometimes means you're going to take a hard path. It's hard to change. It's uncomfortable to change. It's not fun to give up whatever it is. But let me tell you something. Those things, those sins are destroying you. Just as those demons were destroying that man, sin in your life will destroy you. And you can choose to stay there or choose a different path. And that other path is a little scary. It ought to be a little scary. Because it's something new. But it's better. The problem in our lives today is we're afraid of the wrong things. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of letting go. What we need to be afraid of is afraid of God and the consequences of our sins. A brittle diabetic ought to look at a piece of cake not as something delicious, but as danger. This is a rattlesnake ready to bite you. And so what you should do? Not eat it. Now, I know too many diabetics. And I know how good cake tastes, so I understand the temptation. But let's be honest. If you're on the verge of a diabetic coma, cake is a poison. And you ought to be afraid of it. Because everything I read about, if you have to go to the hospital with diabetic coma, it's not fun. And I don't want to find out. And before you start thinking, oh yeah, all those people with sugar diabetes, don't worry. There's something in your life, I'm sure, that is just as deadly. But you don't realize it right now, or you're refusing to see it. If you're more comfortable with your sin than you are with Jesus, then you're going to push Jesus aside and push Jesus aside. And guess what? One time, he will leave. They'll say, fine, you want to go your way? They beg Jesus, go, please leave, please leave. They just brought deliverance. He just brought cleansing to your land. And you're telling them to get out of town? What? Amazing thing is, though Jesus leaves, he doesn't give up on the people. Because he's preparing in just a moment to send somebody back to work in their midst. Gregory the Great said, church father said, a legion of demons, had it been, as I believe, cast out of me, I would prefer merely to forget all of this that I had known and simply rest at the feet of the Savior. But lo, it is said so strongly and to compel me against my will, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And I have to agree with Gregory. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, wow, I've just been delivered from all this. This will be the place to be. And Jesus says, nope. Go home. Jesus gives him specific instructions. Just like he did to the leper in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, he tells the leper, don't tell anybody. Go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices. He tells the demon-possessed man, go home to your family. Tell your family two things. How much the Lord has done for you. The Lord meaning the Lord of Israel. And how the mercy the Lord has shown to you. Pretty straightforward, you think? It wasn't the ministry he wanted. He wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, go home with your family. But instead, what does he do? Like the leper, he doesn't obey. He went to the Decapolis, the 10 cities. Not to the town there where he lived, but he went to the 10 cities. And he told what Jesus did for him. Now, that's kind of right. But it's also kind of actually all wrong. He told, and Jesus told him to tell, but he told him the wrong thing. Instead of focusing on God, on the Lord, on the fact that they were the God that they were supposed to be serving, all of a sudden, I would say it this way, he's like saying, hey, look at what the preacher did for me. At this time, Jesus was trying to get people to return and look to God. And they're like, hey, look at the prophet. Look what the man did for me. And so though this man has been given a different type of ministry, something that should have been wonderful, he decided to take on himself to do something different. And once again, what Jesus wanted didn't happen. Let me tell you something. You may think you're doing some good, but if you're not doing what Jesus told you to do, guess what? It's disobedience. It's wrong. Read recently about I've been reading a lot about the Civil War lately, a lot about the story of Gettysburg. And the moment I get ready to tell the story, then I lose the name of the guy I was going to talk about. That's my life. General Lee had the head of his cavalry that was supposed to be going out, scouting the area, finding out what was going on. He was out doing his own thing. And when he came back, he's like, look what I've done! And Lee was like, you should have been here. And the truth is, most scholars and historians believe if he had been there, the Battle of Gettysburg would have probably been the end of the Civil War because the North would have surrendered afterwards because they would have come from there on into Washington or further into Pennsylvania, and the North would have said, we can't take this anymore. He was doing good. Oh, yeah, look what I'm doing over here. But he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And because of that, the battle was lost. And let me tell you something. In our lives and our ministries and the things God wants us to do in this church even, you may be doing a good thing, but if you're not doing what God says, we're going to see loss. We're going to see defeat. Because let me tell you something. Jesus knows better than you. We need to be willing to be uncomfortable with sin and accept Jesus and put away the sin in our lives. But also we need to be doing what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. One of the hardest things I dealt with, actually it wasn't too that long ago, I was dealing with a situation and I was like, God, I've got the answers. And God told me to be quiet. Just show the love of God. It's like, but Lord, I can set them straight. I can let them know. And God, to say it very uncouthly, God said, shut up and sit down. But God, sit down. It's hard to do the ministry that Jesus wants us to do. But when we do it his way, amazing things can happen. When we do it his way, great things can happen. But we have to be willing to let go of the sin, let go of the uncleanness in our lives, and let him clean us up. And then, do what he says to do. Will it always be easy? No. Will it always be shiny and bright and everybody look at you? No. But let me tell you something, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it if you do it God's way. So my challenge to you today is do it Jesus' way. Do it the way God wants you to do it. If it means letting go of that sin, which it does, then let go of it. If it means you need to do something, do it. If it means you're not supposed to do something, quit doing it. Say, but it's good. If God didn't tell you to do it, don't. Because when you do it God's way, and when you do it, allow Jesus to cleanse you, amazing things can happen. But when you don't, chaos reigns. When the leper went out and shared it with everybody, what was it? It got so busy, so crowded, that a lame person couldn't make their way to Jesus. Someone who really needed the help couldn't get there. That's what's at stake. We do it our own way, we may be keeping someone else away from Jesus. The wonderful thing about God is God can find a way to move around us. But God doesn't want to move around us. God wants us to come and be a part of his kingdom and a part of his work. And he wants us to be there and be a part of the victory. Not, we made it in spite of you. But we made the victory. We made it through this with your help. Choose today who you're going to follow, who you're going to listen to, who you're going to be afraid of. Look to Jesus. We're getting ready to sing, There's Power in the Blood. Let me tell you something. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It can help you cleanse you from your sin. It can help you find direction in your life when you surrender to him. So let's stand and sing together. There's power in the blood. Father, I ask you, go with each one this week. Let them feel your power, your cleansing power, and let us do what you've called us to do. Make your path straight, Lord, so that we may obey you in all you've called us to do. And Lord, show us those things in our lives we need to surrender as we make you Lord and Savior of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Go with God.